have new session on the agenda consultation, which already to some extent touched on by Hugh himself when he present the update. And we have Hugh and April to present this topic. Hugh.
And the first thing I've been asked to do is just to confirm what the Wi-Fi access details are if you haven't got them. So if you need to connect to Wi-Fi, it's city-guest, that's city, capital C, guest, capital G, and not an underscore, but a hyphen. And the password is July Online, all in small letters. So if you need Wi-Fi access. I'm just going to say a few very brief words about the agenda consultation, then I'll pass to April. In fact, really the only thing I want to say is that I guess give a little bit of context for this document. What you'll find is that the questions are very openly asked, and I think we were given a lot of advice from our advisory council and other bodies that we should be asking open questions. I do think it's important to say, though, and at a certain point it says, what do you want to do with our major projects? And if you were to say drop them, we probably wouldn't do that. So this is the point. We're not going to drop insurance, and we're not going to drop any other of these big projects. There is an open question in there, and I guess you can tell us to put a bit more resource in or whatever. But this document is really about, and I think where most of our challenge is coming in responding to the feedback, is about the research programme and the research agenda. And as I touched on this morning, I do think the board is going to have to make some tough decisions about how we streamline that agenda, possibly make some of the projects narrower, and generally make things such that we have a manageable programme, not only from a staff point of view, but I think more importantly from the perspective of the outside world and its capacity to absorb what comes out of 30 Cannon Street. With that, I will pass to April.
Okay, thank you. On slide two, we have we aren't using the slides today, so if you could follow in your book, that would be helpful. On slide two, what we'd like to do today is spend half an hour giving you some background on two interrelated consultations, the Trustees' Review of Structure and Effectiveness and the ISB's 2015 Agenda Consultation. And we'll have a few minutes at the end of these updates if you want to ask us questions before we go into the breakout groups. There'll be five breakout groups, and if you don't know which one you're in, there is a copy in the pack and also in the foyer. And each breakout group will answer two questions, one on the agenda consultation and one on the trustees consultation. After lunch, there'll be a feedback session at which each group will have about 10 minutes to give their feedback. And that feedback on the agenda consultation will be taken to ASAF on Thursday, which will then take that discussion further. Now, on slide three, we conducted our first agenda consultation in 2011, and at that time, we received feedback from a wide range of stakeholders. As a result of the consultation, the ISB agreed that its work would focus on a small number of major projects that were then in progress, the conceptual framework, which many respondents identified as fundamental to IFRS, and maintenance and implementation issues. We also agreed that we would look at the way that we develop standards and base our standard setting process on upfront research. Now, in the 2015 agenda consultation, we're only asking questions about the composition, balance, and priorities of projects which are on the ISB's work plan. There are a number of more strategic questions that are interlinked with our agenda, such as the effect of technology on standard setting, which is why this session is linked with that of the trustees' consultation. And you'll hear about that shortly. The 2015 agenda consultation request reviews was published in August, and it's out for comment until December. And we're asking you all for feedback if you have the resources to do that. The request review is on the website, and you can submit comment letters through the website. Now, in the request review, we've set out a methodology for evidence-informed research, how it should reflect the research program, and how that program should support the rest of our technical activities. We think that making our standard setting process clear will give more transparency about what criteria we use when we're deciding what goes in the work plan and what the relative priorities of the different projects should be. This request for evidence-based standard setting came directly out of the 2011 agenda consultation. So if you look at slide four, there are three main categories of activity. In the research phase, we analyze possible financial reporting problems by collecting evidence on the nature and the extent of the issue, and we assess the potential ways in which the IFRS can be improved or any gaps remedied. Standard-setting projects develop a new standard or substantially amend an existing one. And implementation projects are those where we fine-tune IFRS to deal with practical problems or inconsistent application. And this process is set out on slide 5 in the diagram. Now, on the left-hand side, agenda requests can come from a variety of sources. There was the 2011 agenda consultation and this one. Submissions to the IFRS Interpretations Committee are a major source of input. And post-implementation reviews. We've conducted post-implementation reviews on IFRS 3 and IFRS 8, and we plan post-implementation reviews next year on IFRS 10, 11, 12, and 13. There's a relatively low hurdle for adding research projects to the research agenda. In those projects, we analyze the problem and we test possible solutions. There's a higher hurdle for taking something from research onto the standards level program, and that's indicated by the gray line in the diagram. Not all research projects will lead to a standards level project. Some of the factors that the ISB considers when adding a project to its standard level program are the importance of the matter to investors and other users of financial statements, the types of entity that are affected, and how pervasive or acute the matter is. The third leg of our activities is the maintenance of IFRS, and that's often triggered by our being made aware of an issue, especially those which have been submitted to the Interpretations Committee. Now, on slide 6, we have 5 breakout sessions, with each one answering one question on the agenda consultation and one on the trustees consultation. Looking very quickly at the agenda consultation questions, and there will be a staff member in each breakout group, so you can ask questions when you're in your breakout groups. On slide 7, group A, we've spoken about the 3 types of our activities, and there are also the 2 cross-cutting issues, the conceptual framework and the disclosure initiative. We're asking group A, what factors should the ISB consider when allocating resources to each of these 5 areas of activity? And also, which areas would you prioritize? On slide 8, we'd like group B to think about our research program. There are 15 projects on the research program. As Hugh said, that's quite a heavy commitment. And a further potential project, and they're laid out on slide 8. So moving to slide 9, we'd like group B to discuss the priority that they describe to each allocated between high, medium, and low, and also, most importantly, what factors you use to assign those rankings, and also whether there are any topics which should be added or deleted to the research program. On slide 10, the Interpretations Committee plays an important role in maintaining IFRS by addressing implementation issues. They address issues that are widespread, have a material effect on those affected, would improve financial reporting by reducing diversity, and also that can be resolved within existing IFRS and the conceptual framework. Now, the Interpretations Committee doesn't always take an issue onto its agenda. It often happens, for example, if the Interpretations Committee thinks that IFRS is already clear. And when that's the case, the agenda decision will explain that guidance in the context of the issue. And so although agenda decisions aren't part of IFRS, they can provide a useful educational role. And since the 2012 agenda consultation, the Interpretations Committee has added 54 agenda decisions, to published 54 agenda decisions. Now on slide 11, you'll see that we also have a number of support activities not reflected in the work plan, such as education activities, endorsement and adoption support, IFRS taxonomy, and the translation process. And the question for Group C is, are the ISB and the Interpretations Committee providing the right mix of implementation support? Slide 12, some suggested that we make too many changes to IFRS. At the time of the 2011-2012 agenda consultation, we received a message that people wanted a time of calm. But against that, there were a number of people who said, but you must continue to improve IFRS. And that's obviously a tension. There's also concern that our stakeholders have trouble coping with the change, if there's too frequent change, and also the board have a limit on their resources. So the question for Group D is, does the ISB's work plan as a whole deliver change at the right pace and a level of detail that's appropriate to principal standard setting? On slide 13, we ask the final question, which is about the agenda consultation itself. At the moment, we're required to consult every 3 years, but as you probably know, it takes longer than 3 years to go through the research stage, develop the standard, initial the final IFRS. The ISB propose in the agenda consultation that we'll have a 5-year interval between the agenda consultation process. Some people think it's too ambitious to do it every 3 years. Other people think every 3 years is a good check on whether we've got the balance right. So we're asking the final group what they think of the proposal for a 5-year interval. And then on the final slide, there's a plan for what happens next. We published the request for views in August. It will be out for comment until 31st of October. And we intend to take the comment letter analysis to the board early in 2016 with a view to issuing a feedback statement in the first half of 2016.
Okay, now we directly move to the review of structure and effectiveness of the foundation. It will be presented by you and David.
Thank you, Aigu. Good afternoon, everyone. Sorry, it's still morning. Still, good morning, everyone. It's a good opportunity to see you all. The first comment, I'd like to provide some context to the strategic review, and then David will present in more detail the questions that we want to focus on. As you noticed, and I know it's an effort on your side, but these are two very important consultations papers that are published at the same time and require you to work on two very important papers for us at the same time. And we know it's quite a big effort for yourselves and maybe your organizations, but the reasons why we did that is that from past experience, it is very clear that when people start thinking broadly about what we do, they have a lot of things that are very passionate about, and sometimes they throw it into any consultation paper that's out there, but it remains unanswered because it's not the exact context for the consultation. So we decided this time to really make these consultations parallel so everybody has a clear idea of what is it that we're looking at. Some of the issues are interrelated, some completely separated, but we thought it would be a good opportunity for you to reflect on what we do and give us your answers in two very important responses that we're waiting for. The review of structure and effectiveness is due for comments by November 30, and we encourage everybody to participate because it is a very, very important process that we're going through. And we are also, as you know, suggesting to, same as in the agenda consultation, also review the timing and a bit take a little bit more time between the reviews, so it's a good opportunity. Having said that, this is, of course, not the first review. We've only concluded a very fundamental strategic review 3 years ago. So the approach to this review was to try to be very practical and realistic and focused. What the trustees did was first to identify and articulate what are the strategic direction and focus for 2015 to 2017. And in that context, to focus on the questions that are really elementary and practical for us now. So it doesn't open the whole operation of the foundation, the whole fundamental questions of what we do, but only the questions where trustees felt it is the right time to ask and in a very focused way. So the four main goals that were identified for these 3 years are first, of course, focused on our product to develop a single set of high quality, understandable, enforceable, and globally accepted IFRS. The second is, of course, our global work, the promoting global adoption of I4S. The third is to support the consistency of application and implementation of I4S globally. And the fourth focuses on us as an organization, how to ensure that the I4S Foundation is a model and benchmark for an international standard setter. So how we ensure that we are independent, stable, and accountable. And so the consultation looks at each of these goals and focuses on the main questions for each. We have grouped it in basically three main themes for the consultation. The first is the relevance of I4S, and here it was particularly important to do that in conjunction with the agenda consultation, because both questions are asking how can we ensure I4S remain relevant and useful for our users. We are looking at consistency of application of I4S. We have identified this as a critical strategic goal for us, although we are not responsible for enforcement and application directly. We are very, very much interested as an organization to preserve the brand as a consistent global brand that represents the same standard everywhere it's applied. So we have a very strong strategic interest in that. And finally, on governance and funding, we have a couple of questions out there. Again, it is important to see that, for example, we're asking a question on the three-tier governance structure, the monitoring board, the trustees, and the ISB, and we're asking the question to ask our constituents, how can we improve the functioning of this structure? So basically what we're saying, that we are happy with the structure, we're happy, and previous consultations has proved that, but do you think there's anything we can do to improve that? And the indirect message here is that there are some fundamental ways by which we operate that we want to remain the same as they are. We do not want to change, mainly also for consistency, for stability, but still you can always improve. We are looking at geographical distribution of the trustees, which is something that's mandated by the Constitution every time we do a review. We're looking at the focus and frequency of future reviews, as we said, and the size of the ISB, and we're looking at the functioning of the funding model as well. The consultation papers does emphasizes what we're not asking in this review. We're not asking about our primary objective, what are we standing for? This is something that has been, a lot of time has been devoted in previous reviews. Also, our due process has been subject to some changes in the last review. We want, again, to ensure some stability, some time, until we, again, change this very, very detailed process. We're not asking a question about global adoption. You got a very clear picture from Paul today of where we stand there. We just continue the same path. We don't feel there's a need for a fundamental questioning on that. And we're not asking about the Advisory Council, because the Advisory Council has not has only recently completed its own review. So this review is trying to be practical, realistic, and focused, and we're also expecting the answers to be in the same direction. So for detail now, I'll hand over to David.
Thank you. We thought today we'd look at the two areas where there's the closest read across to the agenda consultation and a focus where you as standard setters would have a particular input for us. So the first is around the relevance of I4S, and if you're looking at the slide pack, I'll leap straight to slide six, where the relevance issues dovetail quite neatly into four particular areas. So we're asking groups A to D to look at one each. The first concerns the scope of I4S in relation of the entities to which it applies. Now, some of you at national level have responsibility for both public sector and or the private sector not-for-profits, and we're looking, we have had some push in the past to say, well, you should expand the scope of the ISB's remit to take these on. It came to the fore in particular with public sector and IPSASB last year with a review group of governance that was led by the OECD and others that eventually, I think, in terms of the feedback, said, well, no, let's keep it SASB under the auspices of IFAC, but with a new governance arrangement involved. And I guess that's still to be set up. But I think that was an outcome that we thought was sensible. The private sector, not-for-profits, internationally, probably standard setting, much less developed. There was a report in the UK last year that I think was starting the journey. But we'd like views from you to say, you know, well, is this something we should at least be considering? Maybe if not now, maybe for the future, but to get things started. The second area is that of wider corporate reporting, and in particular integrated reporting. And we have fairly close links with the International Integrated Reporting Council. So Hans is a member of the council. Ian attends regularly. We have staff-to-staff contacts. And we keep in touch with developments, in particular through the corporate reporting dialogue. Various issues are coming up. The Financial Stability Board, at its meeting last week, was talking about climate change disclosures. What potential impact does that have? Our advisory council seems to be torn. Some are very keen that the board should pick up the mantle and lead the charge on this. Others are far more cautious. The view we've taken is that we play what we call an active role, and that term in itself took some negotiation, but without being at the absolute forefront. So again, we'd welcome views from Group B. Where do you think we should stand in all this? Do you think we're doing the right thing, keeping in touch but not leading, or should it be less, should it be more? Group C, taxonomy and digital reporting is an interesting area. We've had shifts in our strategy towards the taxonomy in recent years, particularly following the last strategy review of 3 years ago. So there's focus much more on the taxonomy itself rather than the computer language, XBRL in particular, underpinning it. Focus more towards, you know, what regulators want. We're seeing regulatory developments around the world. And the European Securities and Markets Authority, in fact, on Friday issued a consultation document about electronic reporting, I'll use that high-level term, in Europe from 2020, and in fact are proposing the use of the IFRS taxonomy in certain circumstances. So, you know, how should we continue that work? Have we got the strategy right? And finally, again, pushed by some of our advisory council, you see a lot of developments in the wider technology world with phrases such as big data being thrown around. Now, if you've taken a look at the document, there's a question in there to say, well, how do we keep IFRS relevant in terms of wider technological developments, the move from structured to unstructured data? And essentially, the question in there is a plea for help. This is not an area where we're experts, but again, we're just looking for views. Is this something we should dip our toes into the water or at least get a better understanding? So that's the remit for four of the groups. The fifth one, again, April mentioned, you know, the importance of consistent application of IFRS, and the trustees think this is an important theme going forward. The trustees' request for views document outlines what's been done in the last strategy review in terms of moves towards consistent application. And, of course, we've had further developments since, with the setting up, for example, of a couple of transition resource groups, the first on revenue recognition jointly with our colleagues from FASB and the second one on impairment of financial instruments. Now, we've said, you know, this doesn't imply that, you know, we will always set up transition resource groups, but you know, is that something we perhaps should be looking at or review experience further on? We've got closer cooperation with securities regulators. We have a couple of important protocols with IOSCO and ESMA in Europe. The work of the Interpretations Committee since 2012 has expanded, and they're looking, you know, beyond just interpretations into narrow scope amendments and so on. Our education activities, our education initiative, you know, is there something we should be doing there to enhance its activities and get them out more and get more leverage? It's a very small team. They do fantastic work. But is there something more we should be doing in this area? And looking at scope for cooperation with others. So that's the remit for Group E. Pleased to look at that. And then just to round off, as Yael said, the deadline for responses on this consultation is the 30th of November. All comments obviously welcome. We plan to take a comment letter summary to the trustees at their January 2016 meeting, and then we'll provide a more detailed feedback analysis, links across to the agenda consultation, implications for the constitution and anything else, hopefully for the trustees' following meeting in May 2016. So that concludes my...
Now, we will start the group discussions. We will have 1 hour and a quarter. And the 1 o'clock afternoon, we will have lunch, 1 hour, and 2 o'clock, come back. And I will discuss with the group chairs and Michelle on how to report back, because we have 5 questions from agenda consultation and 5 questions about structure and effectiveness. And there are 2 ways to do so. And I will discuss with the group leaders later on. And all the meeting rooms are on this floor. And please move to the group you are assigned to. Thank you. Thank you. Oh, please send to all the 4 the speakers. So everybody got a sheet. You can identify which group you belong to.